Welcome back, friends. The big battle that our King and Savior took up was against the ancient foe of sin and death. That is what had shut the gates of heaven to us. That is what propelled us on a valley of tears, and still in the valley of tears. It is the great fear that we all have to encounter in one shape, manner, or form. And Christ does just that. He defeats death with death, right? And he defeats suffering by suffering himself. And that place, right? A king has a place. A king has a kingdom. The place that he has is heaven, and the earth is his footstool. I mean, when I say he has heaven, he has it all. He has it all. But heaven is that the ultimate place that we as his sons and daughters are traveling to. It was Ephesians 2:6. Where he talks about we're giving seats in the higher places. Or in John 14:12, greater things than these you will do. That's from, you know, straight out of our anointing. And of course, what were the things that Jesus did? He healed the sick, he drove out demons, he raised people from the dead. He preached the good news, and some will say, well, maybe that's just to be addressed to a few. No, he spoke to the 70 disciples. So sometimes he does speak to only the apostles. Sometimes he speaks to Our Lady. But in this instance of healing sick, driving out demons, raising people from the dead, preaching the good news, that was the 70 people sent out two by two.
Right.
And the heavenly kingdom restored a dignity to man that not even Adam and Eve at the beginning with their preternatural graces possessed.
Right.
That sonship and that job. It's not that they may not, you know, if Adam and Eve had fought the battle, that then and there could have elevated some nonsense.
Right.
But in that moment, they didn't have it. And baptism, confirmation, the imitation of Jesus Christ. We're anointed to rule as he ruled, with service, with truth, with mercy, you know, the attributes that we associate with him.
Right. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I've just been rereading the Odyssey, and I find it so interesting that, you know, with Christ, you know, in the creed, you know, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and he descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again, and then he ascends into heaven, and he assumes his kingdom, right? And I think it's very, very interesting that you know, we've talked about the different ways that God reaches out and talks to his people and gives them information so that he is recognizable to all cultures. And I was just thinking, I can't help but compare Odysseus's, you know, his sufferings, what you were talking about, how you recognize the king, how you recognize him is he goes out and he fights a battle. And then, you know, he all of these different sufferings that he endures. And then he goes down into hell. And this is Odysseus must go into hell and meet the people there and then come back up. And it's only after he has descended into hell that he's able to go back and restore himself in his kingdom. Right. And he defeats the suitors and he establishes a reign of peace with Penelope. And I think that these great stories, and even it's such a tragedy that, you know, these important Western stories of Western civilization and the stories of scripture, right? These two fundamental documents and profound writings that really open up both the body and the mind to being able to perceive what these things are, what they truly are by you know, narration or by story or by just you know, evoking within the human mind these goodnesses and these battles, that these are being taken from us simultaneously. You know, because the powers that be have such a fear of Christ's reign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes straight into Pius the 11th when he set the feast day up in 1925. It was his first encyclical, Quas Primus, in the first. That's what generally the title of the encyclical is taken from the first few words of the opening lines. And the Holy Father quotes Cyril of Alexandria. Jesus's kingship is given to him by the Father. It's not, so that's one thing the modern world doesn't like, that right. It's a kingship given to him by his Father, right. Tamed by violence.
Right.
So see, we're not by going through the reign of Satan or no, it's a gift. Christ has dominion over all creatures. Dominion not seized by violence nor usurped, but by his essence and by his nature. So going back to, you know, a few shows ago on nominalism, that was Pius the 11th refers back to Leo the 13th, one of my all-time faves, his 1899 Annum Sanctum, where Leo ties the kingship of Christ to the devotion of the Sacred Heart. I mean, you know, go back to recent on the Sacred Heart. The feast day reminds Christians that their primary allegiance is to Christ, another point moderns do not like, and not temporal rulers. And that's the reason, because they want the power. Lasting and true peace rests only under the kingship of Christ. My peace I give, not as the world gives peace. John 14. For the Novus Ordo, the kingship of Christ is the last Sunday of ordinary times. In the extraordinary form, it is the Sunday before all saints. Sunday before all saints. But for EO, it's the last Sunday in October.
Right.
That would be before All Saints. Yes. So we just had it. So Archbishop Vigano sent out a recent missive, and he had kingship of Christ, and that was he was taking off of the EO.
Right. Yes, because this coming Sunday will be the Sunday. What will be the date? The 20th. That will be our in the extort. I mean, the Novus Ordo will be this coming Sunday, which is. For the purpose of that calendar, the last Sunday of the year, that's how we were raised, and then we move into Advent.
That's right. And I think we're going to stop there because we can go straight into Advent because that is all right. About welcoming a king.
Right.
All right, my friends, till the next time, fides et ratio.